turning astray of the path that was left long ago. All we leave behind, time after time, is a legacy with nothing to show. Now our country is lost, and it's not without cost, for there's many who struggle every day. And I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and bow our heads and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see?
Hey everyone, this is Steve Donahue with another episode of the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. This is episode number 130, and this is going to be a recording of the message that I preached this last Sunday at Mount Tabor Baptist Church, the church in which I pastor, from Psalm 23, the best-loved 23rd Psalm. It's going to be a discussion of the way in which the Lord is our shepherd and the blessings that we have of that. And so hopefully it should be a good one for you. Before you listen to that, I want to take care of a little bit of business. First of all, there are several ways in which you can support the show. The first way is that you can register as a user of the website or as a user of the podcast. And you can do that under the show notes, or you can also do that on the right column of the website. This enables you to receive all the emailed updates. So anytime that there's a change to the website, you'll be notified by email. This enables you to maximize your time and also develops a way for me to get the word out to you anytime there's a change without having to manually do that. Second up is you can support the show by visiting the various affiliates that we have listed on the website and in the show notes. And these are companies that we have looked at and realized that they are beneficial to those who are wanting to build a legacy and have affiliated with them, so that if you buy from them or you use one of their products or services, then I will be able to get a little bit of commission off of your sale with them. So I appreciate you doing that. And then thirdly, and probably the easiest way of supporting the show, is telling your friends and family about us through various social media, emailing out links, that kind of thing, getting the word out. More people that we have listening, obviously, the better it is. And so I encourage you to do that. And then finally, you can support the show by becoming a Legacy Partner. Our Legacy Partner is $30 a year, and with that you have exclusive access to some additional information that's only available to our Legacy Partners, and some downloadable material as well as some discounts to some vendors. So you can read more about that on the website as well, and consider becoming a Legacy Partner. That takes care of the introductory material. Now let's go ahead and listen to the message that I preached this last Sunday to Mount Tabor Baptist Church from the 23rd Psalm.
One of the great privileges of being able to live in the country is being able to be somewhat familiar with some of the agricultural practices of our land. In fact, just as we're coming up the road here, you can pass all kinds of sheep, and you can pass cows, and on the way here we pass chicken houses, and we pass gardens, and all kinds of things, because we live in the country, and that's a great privilege. I don't know how someone could live in the heart of a city, do you? I mean, we've lived close to the heart of the city before, and it was aggravating. I love being out in the country, and we have such exposure to agricultural pursuits that actually helps us in some ways understand some of the scriptures, because the scripture also was written in a context of an agricultural community. If you look in the scriptures, almost all of the people were involved in some way in agricultural pursuits. You had people in the Old Testament that were sheep herders, and you had people that were farmers of various kinds. Even some of the prophets were pruners of sycamore trees. And so you have all kinds of agricultural pursuits found in the scriptures. And yet there is still some difference between the way in which some of the agricultural pursuits of the Old Testament, New Testaments were conducted, and the way in which we do things today. And so when we come across a psalm like the 23rd Psalm, it is a fantastic psalm because it speaks to us in so many ways. And yet when we look very specifically into the imagery that is given to us in it, it can certainly move our hearts to understand how great a shepherd we have as our Lord. And so what I want to do today is I want to go through the entire chapter, it's not very long, and look at this great psalm and all the ways in which it points out to us the goodness of our shepherd. It actually begins with a title, as some of the psalms do. Most of the psalms that are written by David start with a title, and this one, of course, says, A Psalm of David. Now, David, of course, we know was king of Israel, but before that, he was also the shepherd of his father's sheep. And we're going back a little bit now in time. If you recall, we've looked at Elijah, and we've looked at all the challenges he faced. We looked at Solomon, and now we're having to go back even before the time of Solomon to David. And so we've gone back a little bit in history, because the Bible is not written in chronological order so much as it is written in topical order and by books. And so the Psalms were written by many authors, but particularly by David. And so this is a Psalm of David. And no wonder that he would pen a psalm about being a shepherd. He was a shepherd boy out in the field. He was very acquainted with being a herder of sheep. And so we come across in verse 1, it says, The Lord is my shepherd. Now this alone could be a whole sermon in itself. What an amazing fact that we have the Lord as our shepherd. I mean, it's not insignificant that we can have that kind of relationship with the God of the universe. What a privilege. We can have no better shepherd than the Lord. He, it says, so much a good shepherd that he would lay down his life, it says in the scriptures, for his sheep. That's the kind of shepherd that we have. He chose us to be his sheep. Of all the people in the world, we're chosen to be his sheep. Isn't that incredible? So we can call out to him and say, he is our shepherd. Just as David was able to call out and say, he is our shepherd. There is so much in this psalm, but what I want to do is break it down into five blessings of having the Lord as our shepherd. Five blessings of having the Lord as our shepherd. First of all, with the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not want. With the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not want. It says in verse 1, The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now this carries the idea of not necessarily a physical lack, although that is included in other places throughout the scriptures, and so certainly that would be indicated as well. But more specifically, a spiritual lack. The idea that we have all that we need in Christ, all that we need in the great shepherd spiritually is fulfilled in him. There's nowhere else that we need to go. He has provided for us everything that we need. It is an issue of contentment. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, Now godliness with contentment is great gain. You see, when the Lord is our shepherd, we can be content. We don't need to have anything else. We have all that we need for life and godliness in him. We can be without want. A sheep that is always wanting to escape the flock and escape his shepherd is a sheep that's going to be called. You can ask any shepherd, and one that keeps getting out of the fence. Now, that's probably true of a lot of different livestock. We've got chickens as well, and you know, chickens are the funniest thing, because they'll get out of their fencing, and all they'll do once they're out of their fencing, for the most part, is walk up and down the fence trying to find a way to get back into the fence. Crazy animals. I don't know about them, but well, sheep will do that to some extent too. But if a sheep keeps getting out, it'll eventually be called. We've had this lamb that Graham's had to bottle feed this year because his mother didn't take it. And as you might imagine, because it's been bottle fed, it's had a better relationship with us than some of the other sheep. And poor little Mary just thinks it's the greatest thing. She always wants to go out there and play with the lamb. Well, as soon as she does that, the lamb breaks through the fence. Out she goes. And Gray has done his best to try to convince us, and try to convince Mary in particular, to leave the lamb alone, because otherwise it's going to learn to always break through the fence. And then he won't be able to keep it. The shepherd knows that a fence continuing to wander away, or a lamb continuing to wander away, or a sheep continuing to wander away, is not really of his flock. And so when it says here that we shall not be in want, it means that we're not looking to get outside the fence. We're not looking to go outside to another pasture. We're not looking out to find another shepherd. We are content with our shepherd. If we are restless sheep, wanting to go to a different flock, a different shepherd, or a different way, it is likely that we're not truly the sheep of the shepherds. His sheep are content in Him. So my question is, are you content in the Lord? Are you seeking something else to fulfill your life? Are you in want? Is your heart longing for something else besides Christ? We should be willing to be content in Him. My brethren, I trust that you're not restless sheep, but one that does not want other than what Christ offers. So first of all, with the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not want. But secondly, with the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not worry. With the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not worry. Look with me in verse 2. It says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, from what I can gather, there are four circumstances that must be met in order for a sheep to lie down. And the first one is this: they must be free from fear. You see, the only protection that a lamb has is to run. Now, it is true that rams have horns and sometimes they will butt, but that's usually just to, you know, butt away the other rams. It's not so much to fight off predators, although they'll do that sometimes. But most of the time, all lambs do and all sheep do when there is danger is they run. They run and herd up. And sometimes they herd up before they run. But the idea behind that is that in order for them to be secure enough to lie down in a green pasture, they have to know there's no danger about. They have to be free from fear. But secondly, they also have to be free from tension. That is, tension within the flock. If there's a lot of aggravation over food, or there's a lot of aggravation over who's dominant within the flock, they won't be able to lie down. And it's interesting that when there is some fighting going on, and a shepherd goes out and is with the sheep, the fighting stops. You know, it's kind of like in a household with children, isn't it? The children can be bickering, and then a father or a mother comes into the room and they stop, right? Because they know there's some authority there. And the same thing is true with the shepherd and his sheep. When a shepherd is among the sheep, they stop their fighting internally. And they're paying attention to the shepherd. Well, how is that similar to the way in which we are with Christ? When we know that the presence of the Lord is with us, it says in the scriptures that where two or three are gathered together in His name, He's there with us. There's no bickering when we're focused on the Lord, when we know that the shepherd is there with us. It's when we lose sight of Him that we start to fight internally. Isn't that true? In order for us to be able to lie down, we have to be free from tension. Also in verse 5, it talks about the head being anointed with oil and the cup running over. And one of the books I read, which by the way is a great book, and I forget the author now, I should have written it down, but it's called The Shepherd's Look at the 23rd Psalm. And it's a fantastic explanation of many of the things that I'm talking about today, as well as additional ones. And he talks about in there about how rams during the rut will cause a lot of tension, as you might imagine, in the flock. And what he will do sometimes is he will put oil and grease the head, basically, of the ram, so that when the rams hit each other, they kind of like slip off too easily and doesn't really do much effect. And they kind of like, whoa, that was kind of weird. And they won't go back butting again. And when they're butting like that is when there's a lot of tension. And so by anointing the head with oil, they remove some of that tension so that the lambs and the sheep can lie down in green pastures. So the tension is free. Thirdly, in order for them to be able to lie down, they have to be free from irritations. There's a lot of things that irritate lamb and sheep, especially when it comes to parasites and bugs. The warble fly, the bot fly, the heel fly, the nose fly, the deer fly, the black fly, the mosquitoes, gnats, and many other insects are an aggravation to all kinds of livestock. We've probably been out with the cows or the sheep before, and we've seen, you know, the twitching of the ears and the wagging the tail and all this kind of stuff to try to shoo away all the bugs. They're irritants. And you cannot lie down in a green pasture. You cannot be secure when bugs are flying around your face and flying around your mouth and nose and all these kinds of things. And so a good shepherd is one who makes sure that his sheep are able to lie down in green pastures free from the aggravations of the flies. And again, in verse 5, talks about anointing the head with oil. And a lot of shepherds, especially in the Middle East, what they would do is they would pour an ointment on the head of flies or head of sheep to avoid flies. And they'll mix this oil with sulfur and some spices, and they'll put it on the sheep, and so that the fly will not be able to land and irritate the nose and all this of the sheep. And a good shepherd is able to do that. He's able to keep away the irritants from his sheep so that they're able to rest securely in the green pasture. And then the fourth way in which, or the fourth ingredient necessary for them to be able to lie down is they have to be free from hunger. You might imagine if a sheep is able to be lying down in a green pasture, it means that their stomach is full. In fact, Graham moves his sheep every day, and as soon as he moves them, all they do is eat, 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 eat. And you can just see in their head down, just eat, eat, eat. And then they get full, and what do? They lie down and chew their cud. And you know they're full when they're lying down, they're complacent, and it's their head rolled back, their eyes kind of glazed over, and they're, you know, just chewing their... They're enjoying life. They're secure. No worry in the world. They're out there enjoying the green pasture. A sheep lying down is a healthy, happy sheep. I love to look out in our pasture and see ours doing that. Or Graham's. They're not mine. Graham's out there doing that. So a good shepherd is able to have his sheep lying down in green pastures. But also in verse 4, look what it says. It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Your presence is with me," it says. Now this picture is that of a shepherd, particularly in the Middle East. What they would do is they would move their sheep from various pastures throughout the season. And they would begin at their little home pasture. And then in the springtime, they would go to lush green pastures, where it talks about laying down in the green pastures. And then as it began to get hot and some of the lower pastures began to dry up from the heat, they would move to the plateau regions. They would move to the areas that are a little higher in elevation where the grass is greener. But in order for them to do that, they would often have to walk through the valleys. And in the process of walking through that valleys, they were in danger of all kinds of trouble. There was predators there. There were rock slides, avalanches, flash floods coming through the valley. And the sheep knew this. But a good shepherd was careful in leading his sheep through the valleys of the shadows of death. And he was able to take his rod. It was a device of protection, and be able to kill off any kind of predators that came its way. We remember how David, when he was facing Goliath and was asked why he thinks he's going to be able to take care of Goliath, he says, "Because when I was a shepherd, I was able to kill off both the bear and the lion." And so there's all kinds of predators that would take on the sheep, and they're just waiting for that narrow gorge where they can come upon the sheep. But the shepherd's able to protect them through the midst of that. And so we see the good shepherd protecting them. Then they would have the staff also. And the staff was used sometimes to make sure that the sheep didn't get too close to the wall of the canyon as they were walking along and fall off. Sometimes it was used to catch their leg if they were about ready to fall off. But I read, very interesting, that sometimes what the shepherds would do, just to show a comfort to the sheep if they were getting a little scared, is we'd reach out and he'd put his staff on the side or on the edge or on the back of the sheep as it was walking. And it was almost as though he was putting his hand upon the sheep. And the sheep knew his presence was there. And so what does it say? It says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You see, that's the kind of shepherd that we have. One who, even when we're walking through the depths of despair, even when we are in troublesome circumstances, even when we are in situations where we're waiting for that next mountaintop and we're in the valley right now, the Lord is with us. He's defending us, protecting us, providing for us, caring for us, comforting us. And then it also says that he has sent us his Holy Spirit to be that comforter, that aid for us, so that we can know and be assured that his presence is with us. And then in verse 5, it says that you have prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. And so the idea behind this, again, is that they are moving from the lowlands up to the tablelands. And I think it's interesting to look at the translation of the word tablelands or table in the various languages. You know, if you go to southwestern United States, you go into New Mexico and things like that, they have these high plateau regions, and they're called mesas. And that comes from the Spanish word for mountaintop or mountain region or tablelands. And the same thing is true in the Middle East and in the Alp regions. They're called Alplands. And they're basically what they are is they're these upper region levels of level plateau land and great for pasturing. And so what the shepherd would do is he would take his sheep on up to these tablelands. But before he went actually up to the tablelands, he would go up there and he would survey out the area. And he would look for the best water spots. And he would look for the best paths to take to the various water spots. And he would look around for any danger that might be in there and get rid of any kind of danger or any kind of snakes or any kind of predator that might be there that would want to take out some of the sheep. And he would go and he'd prepare that place for them before they get there. And so I believe that's what it's talking about here when it says that he prepares the table before them in the presence of his enemies. The shepherd go up to these tablelands and prepare that. Now that's similar to how the Lord prepares a place for us, isn't it? He prepares our steps. In fact, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 says, "A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps." It also tells us, I think, about Jesus going to prepare a place for us in heaven. He says to Philip, and Philip says, "How do we know the way?" And he says, "I am the way, the truth, and life." He also says, "I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I were not true, I wouldn't have told you. But because I am going to prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to where I am, that you may be with me." And so he's preparing a place for us, just as the good shepherd prepares a place for all of his sheep. Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 15 and 16 and 22 and 23 says this, "I will feed my flock. I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away, bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. Therefore I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be a prey. I will judge between sheep and sheep. I will establish one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, my servant David. He shall feed them and be their shepherd." You see, we are freed to be able to be free from all kinds of worry and fear because we're the Lord's sheep. God is perfect in his protection over us. God is ever present with us through his Holy Spirit. And when we dwell in the presence of Jesus, all fear is gone. God provides us with what is needed so that we do not have to hunger for anything, but we can rely upon his leadership. Jesus said it this way in chapter 6, verses 25 and 30 through 32 of Matthew. It says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than your food and body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." And so is the great good shepherd. He provides these things for us. We have a shepherd who provides us with an environment where there is no need for us to worry. Instead, we can lie down under his great care and can walk through the valleys knowing that he is there for us and anticipate the tablelands as he prepared for us with great care. And then thirdly, what we see in this passage, another blessing of being a sheep of the great shepherd, is that with the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not wander. We shall not wander. He leads his sheep with purpose and provision. Look with me in verse 2. It says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." The still waters in the ancient Near East would be considered the morning dew on the grass. Sometimes it would get past the dew point and the dew would be on the grass in the morning. And a good shepherd is making sure that his sheep are out in good pasture in the morning so that they can get that morning dew, the still morning dew. Also, deep wells and springs. Sometimes the shepherd would have to bring water to the sheep through the wells. A good shepherd knows where the best water can be found. Water is so important to life, all life, our life, sheep's life. It's interesting that we are 70% water, so is a sheep, 70% water. There's a lot of animals that are 70% water. Without water, just a little bit, if we lose 2% of that 70%, we'll go into dehydration. And so it's important for us to have water, as it is with a sheep. And a good shepherd will keep his flock well watered so that they are healthy and strong. And unless we are satisfied with the water of life, unless we drink deeply from Christ himself, who said that he is the water of life, and that we can come and find our satisfaction, he who is thirst, let him come, Jesus said. There's no need to do this when the Lord is our shepherd. The Lord leads us with the word so that we can drink deeply of it. And then also in verse 3 it says, he restores my soul, he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. In other words, here what we have is sheep are like many creatures that are creatures of habit. They will end up following the exact same path and eating the same patch of clover over and over and over again until there's nothing left. All animals do this to some extent. You can see some of the trails along the pastures as you go around the fields here. And you can see that trails get worn down, pastures get worn down, because they tend to go over the same area that over and over and over again. But a good shepherd leads his sheep to green pastures and makes sure that they are not moving in the same directions all the time, but they are going and moving and mobbing around so that they might be able to be freed from those poor habits. A good shepherd will lead them various paths and various pastures so they do not wander aimlessly under the control of bad habits. So it is with us. We will keep following the same old worn out paths, even the same old pasture, until everything around us is dried up and dead. But with the Lord as our shepherd, he breaks the patterns of habit that destroy and enables us to pursue a path for our benefit and for his glory when he can have sheep that are healthy and fit. St. Augustine of Hippo in Africa, who was in the 5th century, one of the church fathers, said this, O God, thou hast made us for thyself, and our souls are restless, searching till they find rest in thee. We don't need to wander about when the Lord is our shepherd, because he provides us with water of life and is indeed the way that leads to life. Do not wander from the Lord, the good shepherd, but instead submit to him and follow his leadership. Go where he wants you to go. And then number 4, with the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not weary. With the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not weary. Look with me in verse 3. It says, he restores my soul. And I think what is referred to here is the situation that will come upon sheep sometimes, which is called cast sheep. And I don't know if you've heard that phrase not before, but sometimes sheep can become what's called cast. And what typically happens with this is that they will lie down, and they might be content for a while, and they'll lie down, they're stretch themselves out a little bit, and there might be a little hill on which they're on, and as they're lying there, they roll further and further over until they're finally so far over that they can't get back up again. Now, I know some of you are probably thinking, that's the way I get in my bed, I can't get out of bed, or whatever, you know. Well, sheep get that way too. The problem is that when sheep get like that, they can't get themselves back up, and their rumen begins to ferment in there, and gases build up, and after a while, they'll give up, and they'll actually end up dying, unless a shepherd is there to help get them back up. And even when the shepherd is there and he's able to roll them back over on their feet are so wobbly and weak and weary that it takes them some time to actually get their balance back and get some strength back to their legs until eventually they can hop off with the rest of the flock. And so I believe what is referred to here is a cast sheep. It reminds us of those 80s and 90s phrase. It says, I've fallen and I can't get back up. That's what happens sometimes to sheep. And you know, the interesting thing is, that happens to us spiritually sometimes too, doesn't it? Sometimes we go through a time where we've fallen, and it just seems like we can't get up. And it seems like we're just destined for destruction. And yet the Lord comes, he picks us up, gets us back on our feet, stabilizes us, until we can go off on our own again. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 6 says, nevertheless, God who comforts the downcast comforted us by the coming of Titus. Psalm 36, verse 12 says, There the workers of iniquity have fallen. They have been cast down and are not able to rise. You see the distinction there? These are the people of wickedness, it says, that they have been cast down, they've fallen, and they're not able to arise. Psalm 37, verse 24 says, though he fall, he shall not utterly be cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Psalm 42, verses 5, 11, and 43, verse 5 says, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Do any of you ever feel cast down? Do you ever feel like you're in the depths of destruction, depths of despair? It seems like there's no hope. There is hope. There's hope in the great Savior, the great Shepherd of the sheep. Trust in the Lord, the great Shepherd of the sheep, and he will restore your soul. And then finally, number 5, with the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not waste. With the Lord as our shepherd, we shall not waste. Look with me in verse 6. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. A sheep that is mismanaged can leave behind nothing but destruction. You've probably heard it said before, I don't want sheep in my pasture because they'll eat down everything there. Well, that's true for mismanaged sheep. But it's also just the opposite. If you have a good managed sheep, if you have a flock that is well managed, they're able to leave behind a great blessing. Did you know that the sheep's manure is the most balanced of all livestock manure? It used to be that people of fields that owned land, they wanted sheep on their land because it fertilized the soil. And it was able to fertilize the soil better than any other kind of livestock that was there. The sheep's habit of seeking the highest ground in which to rest and to spend most of its time naturally refertilized the highest areas, which were the least fertile areas on a field. And so God had instinctively created within them a desire to be on the higher ground so that they might fertilize the field. They leave behind a blessing when they're well managed. In ancient literature, a sheep was referred to as those of the golden hoof. And the reason for that was because of what they were able to leave behind. What are we depositing in the fields in which we travel? Are we leaving behind blessings? I trust that because we are sheep of the great shepherd, that we are leaving behind blessings. There's a prayer that I pray almost every day. It's a prayer that you should pray every day as well. And that is, Lord, bless me so that I might be a blessing to others. That's the reason why we should be blessed. That's the reason why, if we look at Abraham, why he was blessed, so that he might be a blessing. And the reason why God shepherds us so carefully, the reason why he takes care of us so carefully, the way that he provides for us and cares for us and makes sure that we're not cast down, the way he lifts us up and he guides us and leads us to green pastures, he does all of that so that we might be a blessing. So that we do not waste our life. About a year or so ago, I started a podcast called The Legacy Podcast. And my whole goal behind that, I put my messages up there and things like that, but I put some other stuff up there, not as much as I should frequently. But the whole purpose behind that is I want to be able to leave a legacy. I don't want to go through my life and then on my deathbed at 90 or 100 or 60 or 50 or however it is, when I die, I don't want to be able to look back and say, what'd I do? I want to be able to leave a blessing behind. And we can when we're shepherds or we're sheep of the great shepherd. We understand that anything good that comes from us is a result of the management of our great shepherd. It's not the sheep's benefit, or it's not for the sheep's benefit entirely, but mostly for the glory of the shepherd. And then finally, I want to conclude with the phrase that the passage ends with, and that is, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It kind of ends the same way as it began. The Lord is my shepherd. And now it ends with saying, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You see, the idea is that we are content in him. That we are under his lordship, under his leadership, and we are happy with that. There's no need to go elsewhere. We enjoy being Christians. We enjoy being under his domain. We enjoy being in his flock. My brethren, if you are a sheep of the great shepherd, you have it made. You have the best life possible. Now, is this life without hardship? No. But I certainly wouldn't want to live without the Lord, would you? It's the only way to live. being in the fold of the Great Shepherd. Let us be thankful and grateful. Let us not be stubborn and stiff-necked and resist the leadership of our Shepherd. Let us not seek out our own pastures, but the pastures that have been prepared for us. And let us dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray.
Well, I hope you found that helpful. And with that, this has been Steve Donahue with the Legacy Podcast, helping you build a multi-generational legacy of abundance. What will you do today to build your legacy?
I think that it's time we start crying for our nation and bow our heads and pray. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? But just like the plant that withers away, we will leave many seeds behind. If today you lost your life, what would you leave behind? What would the ones around you see? What happened in the dash between your birth and death? What will you do to change your legacy? Change your legacy.